You're listening to Sci-Fi for Chicks on Sci-Fi for Me Radio.
I'm part of a sisterhood like no other. A piece of a puzzle I can barely comprehend. My life is someone else's experiment. My name is Alison Hendricks. It's Cassima Lee House.
It's Rachel Duncan.
Alex Gallagher.
Heather French.
Sarah Manning. And I'm one of a kind.
You don't know me. I'm not just one of your many toys. I'm not just one.
Welcome to Sci-Fi for Chicks as we talk the penultimate episode of season 3 of Orphan Black. My name is Heather and I am joined by my clone-tastic intercontinental clone casting partner, Alex.
Hi,
Alex.
Everybody.
I was trying to come up with a new clone one on the fly.
Yeah, that was a little bit too elaborate. Keep it simple next time.
How many can I fit in there? Well, let's keep it simple, stupid, not keep it clony something. Yeah, come up with one. We are here to talk about Orphan Black Season 3, Episode 9, Insolvent Phantom of Tomorrow, which I think was supposed to be a Star Wars sequel?
Maybe. I don't know for sure.
The Insolvent Phantom of Tomorrow instead of the Phantom Menace. It's possible. I was trying to go for a different one there. It comes, of course, from the quote from the Eisenhower speech.
Yeah, and you just suggested that Eisenhower would be a Phantom Menace fan because he included the reference in his speech.
I could see that. Yeah, I could see that. It could work. Let's see. So we got to find ways to link Eisenhower and Palpatine. Or do we want to link him to more like Qui-Gon? I don't know. I have to figure that. It's an interesting. It's a very interesting situation.
Here we go, Orphan Black podcasts, where you get existential questions.
And that quote that I just did. It's a very interesting situation. Is actually from Lost. Oh. I got one in. Yay, I'm so happy. The quote actually comes from Eisenhower's speech. We cannot mortgage the material assets of our grandchildren without asking the loss also of their political and spiritual heritage. We want democracy to survive for all generations to come, not to become the insolvent phantom of tomorrow. So really looking at the future and down the road at our children, which I think does apply to this episode once you get to the end. Once you know the end,
yeah.
I think that quote makes a little more sense.
But Orphan Black writers are very good at picking their titles. The titles always sound like something ridiculous and out of the blue. But then by the end of the episode, you usually go, huh, well, that makes sense. And that's disturbing. But it does.
I still like ours better because we're calling it the one without the good liquor. Because really, schnapps? Scott? Schnapps? That's all you got?
Seriously, I don't drink alcohol. Like, I don't. I'm not a big fan. Sometimes, maybe in social occasions, I'll drink some beer. But
how are we friends?
With me not liking much of the alcohol, I still have 1, 2, 3 types of different alcohols in my apartment. They're just lying
there. That are not schnapps.
They're not schnapps. I have good Polish vodka. I have white Croatian wine. And I have wine that's, I think, German.
Wine doesn't count as liquor. But I'll go with the Polish vodka, because Polish vodka is very good.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not just saying that because I'm part Polish, but it is very, very good. When I heard, when Cassima was talking about schnapps, really, this is all you've got, I instantly flashed to another fandom area of ours, and I'm thinking Daryl and Beth in The Walking Dead, when Beth is going to have her first drink and it's schnapps, and Daryl's like, no, your first drink will not be schnapps, it's just wrong, so I think we need to start a campaign here to help Scott, you know, get some better bar there. He needs something, because if that's all that he and the battle bitches are drinking, I really wonder how they did that great breakout last week, even though they were foiled, but still, They organized a really great breakout last week.
Yeah, they kind of, he needs guidance. He needs, you know what he needs? He needs season 4 to learn what good liquor is.
I like that. Yeah. So that's what our mission is for season 4, is to get some good liquor for Scott and teach him what he needs. So I think that you should help us and let him know what he needs in his liquor cabinet. You can do that by going over to Twitter at Sci-Fi for Chicks, because I think that'd be really great. We're following our Scott on there, so we can make sure and let him know what he should have in his liquor cabinet there for when Cosima comes over and they have the big dance parties. Maybe if Scott was part of a dance party,
he'd get better liquor. Yeah.
You can also let us know, of course, on the hotline, 573-427-2434. That's 573-42-SCI-FI. And scififorchicks@scififorme.com if you prefer the email route. They're both. Actually, they're both correct. Although Alex is looking at me going, no, route is correct because I say so. Let's go ahead and check in with Helena and her bullet points.
One day, I'll kill you all.
Sarah Felix and Mrs. S take a trip with the hopes of tracking down the Castor original, but they are not alone. Back home, Donnie tries to save the family business when Pouchy defects, but it is Helena who manages to secure a full refund, quote unquote. Meanwhile, Cosima becomes suspicious of Shay, and Delphine takes the matter into her own hands. Ruh-roh. But nothing will ever be the same again when Lita finally finds what they've been looking for. I still, occasionally, looking at that, want to call him Poochie. But it's Pouchy.
You said Pouchy just now, and I was like, who? Wait, what? It's ridiculous.
Well, when Donnie, and I can't remember what his name was, but when Donnie goes into the whole, you know, Mr. Pet, you know, what does he call him? What's the, you know, like the Latin name that he actually has that Pouch comes from, you know, and I was just like, that makes so much sense. And then I'm writing this down. I'm like, who's Pouchy? It's Poochie. No, it is Pouchy. It's just a very, very weird name there. This was an interesting episode, and it's definitely felt like it. I mean, it's an awesome episode, but it is definitely setting up for next week's season finale. Why do they do this to us? We just finished with iZombie. We just had the iZombie finale, so we are done with that till October. And now we have staring us right in the face, the Orphan Black season finale.
How will I deal with it? I don't know. Because Orphan Black will not do us the same courtesy that iZombie promised, and they will not be back in October.
April 2016. You can go ahead, pencil it in. A Saturday in April 2016. We've got a ways to go. It's crazy. And when I also think of the fact, when I looked at the story, literally when this episode ended, I'm thinking about where they're going the next episode, and I went, wait a second. They've advanced quite a bit in the story. If you go from Beth and Sarah on that train platform to where we are now, this is not even miles beyond. This is like light years beyond in story. And it has me excited but scared, because I think they're going to tell their story until the story is done, not just keeping it on because they can. And I'm thinking that the story might be getting closer to its final chapters. So it has me worried that season 4 might be the final season. Not because of cancellation, but because of story justice. And I don't like that, but I do.
I'm hoping that they will at least do 5 seasons. But yeah, I gotta agree with you. This is, unless they come up with a huge plot twist, something, you know, spectacular, that would allow them to take the story from the originals to somewhere completely different. Yeah, I gotta agree with you. It's, even though it doesn't feel like this after this episode, but we're slowly getting to where we want to be. Because if they find the, you know, if they, I don't even know what they will do in the finale, but
I don't even think. La 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 la.
Yeah. After they deal with the originals, there's only so far that they can go.
Yeah.
Because next step is curing both clones, clone types.
What are you going to do? Go out and suddenly turn it into you've got to go find any random clones, Litas and Castors that are out there. I mean, I think Castor would be easier because they should all be contained. They were all military, so the military should have their eyes on everybody. And
Dyad Institute is tracking Lita clones, so it's not like they can turn it into a procedural
kind of clone. Which I don't think I'd want them to. I don't know. So like I said, I'm really excited. I'm really, really, really excited for the season finale because I think with what they did in this episode, and it's not just this episode, this whole season, but this episode, again, I'm watching this late night with headphones on. I'm laughing out loud. And then I had a few where my hand is going over my mouth, not to stifle my laughs, but because it was like, oh my God, what did they just do? Where did they take it? How did they turn this? This isn't just a 180. I mean, they kind of did a 180 and then went totally vertical and straight up. So I'm really excited to see what they're going to do next week. But before we get into next week, holy doodle, we got to talk about this week.
Holy doodle, here we go.
3, 2, 1.
So let's, before we get into that big, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, where did they just take us? I think we need to deal with some of our favorite clones in the real world. And I think we need to start with back at home with Helena and Donnie and a little bit of Allison. Just a little smattering of Allison. I love watching Helena with kids because you do not think that she would be in any way, shape, or form good with kids. But her with Gemma is so freaking adorable.
Very good. You are a fierce warrior. You will win this competition.
Oscar says I'm too small.
No, small is good. Small is a weapon. You stand this close. When I hit, you block. Then you look at me in the eyes. And you punch. I am joking, so you come where I am vulnerable. Squeal.
Helena! We don't do things like that anymore. Remember?
I don't think I'm allowed.
No, of course not. I am a mother now. I walk a different path.
Until, of course, she gets into Assassin Clone. And Gemma's like, what? What's going on?
What are you teaching me? I'm a kid. I'm not allowed to do that. Helena was adorable.
And, you know, Gracie coming in and scolding her. We don't do things like that anymore. I'm a mother now, I walk a different path. But yeah, it was just, oops, but it was so cute. And I love that Gemma's opened up to her, that they have this really great relationship.
Yeah, I think that it's because Gemma doesn't see Helena as the assassin clone.
Right.
Right? She sees Helena as Auntie Helena, who's a little quirky and weird, but awesome. When she's not teaching kids how to, you know, gouge out eyes and other creepy things.
Collapse windpipes and...
Yeah. Plus, Helena looks adorable in the pink sweater.
In Allison's clothes?
I know, yes.
Oh, so sweet. So it really sets off her weird reddish eyes.
I know. I know. She's wondering if it's something that's permanent, or if she would start looking a little healthier once she starts taking care of herself.
But I think she is taking care of herself, because she was rocking out in the garage, making soap and singing, you baby. Just having... Again, it's nice seeing Helena have fun and cut loose. And I think her dancing skills have improved a bit since the dance party. Just a skosh. Just a skosh.
They did. Hey, any moment that Helena has to be this carefree and maybe even happy, I'm going to take it, because it's not something she is overly familiar with. So I'm going to take it and appreciate it for what it is.
Well, and I'm thinking that Bubbles is going to continue, even though Jason is not so down with the Chubb side of the Hendrix Chubbs. But they did buy Bubbles from her mom, Allison's mom, just a short time ago. So I think they've got a good little worker there in Helena to mix these soaps and get things all ready. And she seems to know about home remedies quite nicely too.
Though I don't know how trustworthy those remedies are.
Oh, I think so. Oh, I think what she was saying, it made sense. And you never know, she might start her own line at Bubbles. You know, Helena's Organics or something, I don't know. Speaking of Bubbles, let's backtrack real quick and pick up Donnie. Oh, little Donnie. He's beaten to a bloody pulp. The poor guy.
He did not look well.
He looked in pain every step of the way. And then when he's at Bubbles and you had the return of your muscle, the muscle came back.
He is back and not being very nice.
No, he wasn't very nice at all. Dropping things and opening things and Donnie, hey.
That was very rude. We are very disappointed with you, Mr. Muscle.
I thought it was quite amusing. You're very disappointed because he's messing with your Donnie, your backup from last week.
Yeah.
And he's now messing with Helena. Because he took her babies.
Yeah, but you gotta wonder, why would she put it in the bag of Bubbles?
Maybe thought it was safe, or maybe, I don't know, maybe they took it there for safekeeping, or they thought it would be better there away from the kids, so that Gemma and Oscar don't stumble onto it, or something like that. But yeah, you do not want to mess with Helena, because while she's busy making soap and a minty little salve for poor Donnie's things, the muscle better be lucky that he's with Jason and not with Pouchy, because that could have been really bad. Like, more bad than what Donnie's face is.
Jesus, Helena, what are you doing?
Her face is damaged.
I was jogging. I bumped into a post. I'm just looking for a band-aid.
A post made of fist, I think.
You cannot get damage like that past Helena.
And yeah.
It's kind of cute to see Donnie being confronted with somebody who really sees him and sees the truth. And it's almost this flip of Allison and Jason, where Jason is this kind of bad boy temptation for Allison. Helena's actually, I mean, yeah, she's the psychopath, but she's not. She's actually very sweet, and she really cares for him, and she really sees the truth. He actually seems to be almost more at ease with her. Than with Allison, more himself, self with Helena than Allison. And it's sweet to see Donnie have a friend and somebody who really wants to stick up for him.
Kind of my favorite part was when Helena told him to sit down and then did. And the expression on his face was just priceless. That was my favorite part, I guess, because you could see how wary he was of Helena, and how I don't want to be here right now when she started touching his face and all that. I was just, oh, Donnie. Hey, but we asked for more Donnie-Helena interactions, and we got it. Because this was brilliant.
And it was really, like I said, it was really sweet. Here he is all worried about what she's going to do to him. And then he's like, smells minty. And she tells the story about the nuns.
Mm.
And I love him going, oh, I never heard that story before. And then she goes into other things, you know, talking about the babies. And it's like, oh, I didn't hear that one either. He still has that wariness, but he does care about her. I mean, she's talking about how you're doing this for your family. And he says, you know, they have this understanding that she's part of the family now. He's doing this stuff for her. We'll get your babies back. I will do this because you're part of the family. And that's what families do.
Yeah.
And however much I think it means that Sarah and Allison and Cosima and Mrs. S too have accepted Helena into this family, I think that's a really important component too, that Donnie is also seeing this, you know, going from her being a psychopath to seeing this sweet side, and that she's part of the family and you are accepted no matter what. It really, I think, leads to an interesting place for Helena to end up. And I think it's going to make her story much more interesting and help lead her back on the road to Jesse.
Yes. But I like it
shiny, happy,
because out of all the clones overall, Helena is the one who's getting the most character development, which I approve of, because she's my favorite clone. When it's not Allison, or, you know, Cosima.
Or Sarah.
Or Sarah.
Beth.
Yeah.
But, or...
yeah, she's right there with my favorite
She's in clone. The top 10 favorite clones, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but she is. And so I like seeing her. Because out of all of them, I feel like she was the one most in need of character development. And she's getting it. And what we are getting is absolutely worth waiting 3 seasons for. So.
It's really so much fun. And it's fun to see her acting off somebody else. Because we always have these fun moments of Fee with the different clones,
yeah.
Or now Art with the different clones. I do like seeing, especially how the men interact with the different clones when they meet them. You know, when Scott first meets a new clone, when we see how they do, you know, and here this is a familiar face to them, but it's not. And I love how Donnie is being expanded on in these in really simple ways, like when he goes back to Pouchy. And gives them the pills, you know, keep the bins, just need the tank back. And they're about not to give the tank back at all.
Mm.
And then we have Allison come in.
Allison.
I love them looking out through the peephole and seeing Allison, the Allison, but you can tell, you know, Helena, and like the fisheye lens on her face with the way her eyes are in that fuzzy cap. It was just so cute. And everything is fine and honky-dory, and Allison's and Donnie's protecting
Allison
and making sure they get out of there and they get the tank, until that woman, well, I can't remember her name, that's Pouchy's
right hand,
side,
yeah,
right hand, yeah. It talks about how we know where Oscar and Gemma go to school.
Hey, don't even think about getting back into business. We know where you live. We know where Oscar and Gemma go to school.
Did you threaten babies?
Allison, honey, let's go. Let's just get out of here, okay?
Hey!
No! Allie, no! Stop! Open the door! Stop!
You should not threaten babies.
They thought they were dealing with Allison, who already would have been formidable enough against Pouchy.
Mm.
They don't know what can of worms they opened.
I gotta tell you, when I was watching Donnie and Helena go towards the door, I was like, okay, yeah, we can do this. You can do this. Go on, leave. And then the evil sidekick just refused to shut up. And I
know when to shut
knew...
up. Know when to stop.
Yeah.
Come on, people.
I knew... Then, when the names of Oscar and Gemma left her lips, I knew, and you're dead. It was nice meeting you. I love your fashion choices. I will not be sorry when you die, horrible and painful death, because that's what's coming. And then Helena turned around, and I knew, so much for different paths, but I approve. Go slaughter them all.
Yes. Because, well, they're threatening the babies. Donnie's already shown that he's willing to step up for family.
Yeah.
For Helena's babies. He's making this effort to get her babies back. And she knows Gemma. And she knows Oscar Dale. And she's not going to let anybody do that. I love how she's protecting him, too. She pushes him out and locks the door. And Donnie still stays true to Donnie in that he just stays outside. He doesn't try to get back in. I'm just going to let her handle this. It's moments like that where he is super true to Donnie, even though him being loyal and wanting to protect his family is just as super true, that I love this back and forth.
This is the Donnie who killed Leaky by accident.
Exactly.
And we just got reminded that, yeah, he might be trying to be badass, but this is Donnie. This is Donnie, and nothing changed. Even though he thinks he's more badass. He's going to wait. It's not Allison inside that warehouse. But he's still going to wait for his, you know, wife almost, you know, quote unquote, to handle the situation. I'm just going to stay here and, I don't know, look after the car and the babies. The babies.
We have to take care. He's going to babysit. Which, that's even easier than like the school project when you have to babysit an egg. You know, you pretend like an egg is a baby and you have to take care of it. I don't know if you have.
No.
That's like one of the home ec things where you're given a raw egg and it's your baby. And so you have to take care of it and you have to do things and you can't just go out and party because you have this egg to take care of. It's like that. He has to sit dutifully and watch after the babies. When she came back out with the refund.
Refund. I'd like a refund like that.
I'm not kidding. Well, I don't want to go through what she did. I'm fine with that. I thought it was interesting that we get the refund, but the pills and the bins are still in there. So are we continuing with this line of business? What's going on? I did have that question of we could get the pills too and just, you know, really.
I don't think Donnie wanted to go back in for the bins.
No.
I'm pretty sure that once Helena told him that, yeah, they're not going to come back to ask for the money back. He knew that, so this is over, unless Jason comes back, which I highly doubt, because season finale is going to be clone heavy. Unless Jason comes back, I think they're backing out of the drug business and just, you know, being rich off of dead Pouchy's cash.
That'd be interesting, though. I wouldn't mind them staying in the weeds kind of thing there for a little bit longer. So we have our refund. And the moolah is in the coolah.
Yeah.
Allison was only in this a smattering, and I actually was fine with it because it was perfect. I liked focusing on the Donnie and Helena relationship back at home.
Mm.
Yeah, I like Donnie saying, good news, we've come into some money.
Yeah.
And look on Allison. Just don't ask questions, Allison. Just, it's better this way. Just don't ask anything.
I loved it. It was perfect. Because when she comes in and says, oh, you will not believe the day that I had. And I, right there and then, I burst into laughter. Because, yeah, she won't believe the day he had.
Yeah, that's a story.
So this happened, honey.
That needs more than schnapps, that story. The whole thing needs much more than schnapps. The other part of that story, which was a good weaving into, because we were guessing last week about different things, and they led us to believe certain things about who maybe told Castor about the book and everything like this and what's going on. We have little Miss Gracie just being there. I mean, she was helping with laundry in the beginning, and Helena, we don't do this kind of thing anymore. When she's getting ready for her doctor's appointment, I'm like, they're mentioning this a lot. This is important. I'm like, what kind of doctor is this? And then she gives Helena that great big goodbye hug moment. And that's when I'm like, something is not right in the state of Gracie.
I could have told you that when the moment I saw her bag. I was like, who goes to the doctor with a bag like that?
Exactly.
I knew she wasn't coming back. I didn't know where she was going. And that was a nice twist.
We'll talk more about the ramifications of where she was going here in just a second. But it turns out that here, while we've been thinking that it was somebody else that betrayed the Clone Club, Gracie is the one that told Castor, because they told her that she would be helping Mark. And she still loves Mark. So here's a girl who went from loving Mark to being totally creeped out by Mark because he's a clone. He's an abomination. To living with clones. Well, she was living with clones, you know, and they accepted her and they were there for her and took care of her when other people, her mother would have let her die.
Yeah.
And Sarah and Allison and Cosima and Helena have all been there for her. So I think it's weird because they changed her mind in what it meant to be a clone, which then made her more susceptible to Mark again, which then made her betray the Clone Club.
Hey, don't say it made it more susceptible to Mark, because I am really firm in my belief that Mark really does love Gracie.
No. He does love her. But the fact that when she left him, he's an abomination because he is a clone.
Yeah.
He is an abomination against God and nature. They turned her into seeing he's a person, just like Helena's a person and Allison's a person and Sarah's a person.
Yeah.
And Cosima's a person, even though they're clones. These are all people she was raised to believe were abominations. Mm-hmm. They're not. They took her in when her own mother kicked her out. And she got to see them. And I think that took away the abomination thing with Mark. And she saw again what it was when her and Mark were all goo-goo eyes back on the farm before they could do anything. And when they finally got married and were together. You know? I think that's what I meant by took that away. So that she turned back to Mark. I mean, she had turned away, and the clones were actually safer when she had turned away from Castor. But they let her in, and she didn't want to betray them, but her love for Mark was more.
And I know what she did was bad and not good because it went against our protagonists. But there is a possibility, though you cannot prove anything, and I will deny it at any other point in time, but I may have cheered a little when she reunited with Mark. Mostly because
A, nice hug.
That means that Mark is alive. And he's still my favorite caster.
Out of the possible favorite casters, we have one to choose from. And he's still the number one.
Yeah. But it was adorable to see them together. You know?
Her running into his arms and jumping up and them hugging. I'm very happy for that. I just wish it hadn't come at the expense of the clone
club.
But it does make Mark's story now more viable in having those twists and turns. Because he's been back in with Castor and Cody and Arlington and Rudy, brother Rudy, who we see when Cody was doing the little test thing, that he's glitching more.
He's beginning to glitch.
Right. And he's seen how bad it can get with Seth. So this isn't just an occasional glitch. It's getting really bad. He can't answer the questions. So it gives us, by having Gracie over there, I think that will help fortify Mark into being the good guy again. That he has something worth living for and fighting for outside of his brothers and Castor. So I think that's going to help that side. Again, I just wish it hadn't come at the expense of the Clone Club, but I think he's now got what he needs to keep from turning back to Cody and Rudy and Arlington, you know, and being all out evil.
Hey.
So that's good.
Plus he's alive, so we can root for Mark again.
He is alive. He is with the love of his life, who made a big mess of things back in Clone Club
camp.
That was actually hard to say.
That's an understatement, too.
Yeah. Because here we have everybody now thinking, well, everybody, Cosima and Delphine, thinking that it's Shay that is actually betrayed. And all those puzzle pieces we started putting together a little bit late last week, after Delphine is, you know, after we found out that the Castor side knew about the book and such, and suddenly Shay seeing the book. Remember how she picked up the book and all of this stuff? I like the fact that Cosima is remembering this and Scott's remembering this. And did she know you were sick? Because Rudy knew you were sick again. So all these clues that point so perfectly to Shay. It was scary.
I honestly needed a moment after the episode finished to find words to describe what I was feeling when I was watching all the Cosima Delphine Shay moments. Because for the majority of the episode, when I was watching those scenes, I was speechless. And it was a good kind of speechless, because Delphine went beyond her usual Rachel persona. Yeah.
Well, but it also started way back with Cosima, still really starting to doubt herself, you know, and trying to put it in there. Like, I don't sleep talk. How did she know about Sarah? How does she know about any of the, you know, it's all these things that just so perfectly pointed there that when she does go, when Cosima does go to see Delphine, it's almost like she's, I don't mean crawling back, but it really did feel like a dog coming back to its master with its tail between its legs.
Yeah.
You're right. I need you. I need Dyad. I'm part of this. And Shay's the mole. And it gave Delphine this extra bitterness and power and self-righteousness that just snowballed, avalanched. It didn't snowball. It avalanched.
Yeah.
I'm like wanting to look away when I was watching a lot of those last scenes.
Well, the entire interrogation scene, I just cringed every time we came back to it. You remember how at the very beginning of the season, we loved the new Delphine?
Yeah.
Because she was badass. But it's more and more as the season progressed, she gave in to the dark side.
I wrote down here, Delphine is so evil. Not just evil, but evil. When she comes in and is like, take off your shoes. How do you pay for this lifestyle? All this, everything she's doing, it just made my skin crawl. But like you said, here's this woman that she was our backup number one, no problem. She's awesome. She's beautiful. The power, the composure, the way she's thinking. We love you, Delphine. And now I'm like, my skin is crawling.
Seriously, I was flashing back to season one. During the entire interrogation, I was asking myself, where did she find the strength or the motivation within this lovesick puppy that we got in season one to turn into Darth Vader by season three? And you know how you were creeped out by Take Off Your Shoes? What creeped me out was how Delphine kept playing with the blade, the razor.
Yeah.
I was like, please put it away. You know, we are not, this is why we're not allowed to have nice things. Because you go all Darth Vader and any moment now you will be choking your soldiers.
And how she walks in with her henchmen, her men in black that walk in and cover everything and start looking through all of her stuff and just taking over. And kudos to Shay, Ksenia, you know, for holding it together in something that I think was incredibly fearful, because when she did start playing with that razor blade, she's drawing the bath, she's playing with that razor blade. These guys are there, but they're obviously, they don't care. They're there for Delphine. They're not there to protect Shay.
Yeah.
The look on her face was just utter fear. What is going to happen? And, you know, she's got to think back a little bit to the fact that Cosima left and was really strange. And suddenly Delphine shows up like this. I bet she felt really alone.
Yeah.
And total terror. Like she said, the whole single white female kind of thing there. There was a tweet that went out from Orphan Black about, you know, should we keep her around for a while? And I'm like, yes, please, her awesomeness, just don't take her down this particular road that we don't want her to go down. And Delphine is sitting there.
You know, when I was at boarding school, there was a girl I knew very well. And she attempted suicide. She slit her wrists in the bathtub, but it wasn't enough. You should have cut the metatarsal arteries on the top of her feet, too.
And I'm like, you're not seriously going to do this. And I'm thinking, is Cosima going to walk into this place
and find
and see Shay like that?
Yeah. Honestly, the episode is over and I'm still afraid for Shay. Because technically, Cosima called Delphine, right? In the middle of Razor playing and all that.
Yeah, right after she got threatened with suicide, that's when Gracie calls Cosima and says, thank you, you were kind, and I'm sorry, they told me I could save Mark. And Cosima is, oh no, I've set Delphine loose with the wrong information.
Cosima calls Delphine, and for a second there, I was afraid that Delphine would ignore the call. Yeah. Right? So that
she didn't look too happy about that.
My first, oh my God, please tell me I'm wrong. And he, and Delphine picks up. And I'm done watching the episode and I'm still thinking, well, Delphine could walk out the door, but still follow through and get rid of Shay. Cause right now, I wouldn't put it past her. Delphine changed so drastically that, yeah, I'm actually seeing her killing Shay anyway and walking out. So I'm still a little afraid of, you know, please tell me Shay is okay, even if slightly freaked out. She's not alone in the freaking out.
Because after that, the only thing we really have with Delphine is when Ferdinand, or as I called him back in episode one, Fernando, and go to the little ABBA thing there, when he calls. Because not only were the clone club keeping secrets from Delphine about Sarah and Mrs. S and Fee heading off to London, but Delphine, once she learned, kind of kept that from Ferdinand. And that's now Delphine's next hurdle, is like they've got to meet, you know, who's been keeping secrets from who. And that was the only moment in that episode where I saw Delphine scrambling.
Yeah.
And so I don't know what happened after Cosima's call, but before Ferdinand's call, or what could possibly happen after Ferdinand's call, because I think that's a double twist on Delphine. What happened because of Cosima, what Shay represented in the barrier in Cosima and Delphine's relationship.
Yeah.
And now Ferdinand with this, I mean, who knows where this could push the new Rachel, Delphine, to go.
I am both scared and excited for the season finale on that front. So, is it next week yet?
No, not yet. No. I don't want it yet. Savor this first, because we still have one clone. Well, I guess actually we just have one clone left to talk about, who is the one that annoyed Delphine for not knowing, and Ferdinand,
yeah,
the one who decided to get the heck out of Dodge and take a little trip to London town. We have Sarah and Fee and Mrs. S that go to London, to her old neighborhood. Can I just say, I think it's so cute, but it also throws me off how Mrs. S keeps calling her chicken.
Yeah.
What's my neighborhood? Chicken. It's cute, but I'm less like, chicken? Really? Chicken? Of course, my parents called me pumpkin and peanut, so.
And my parents called me by my name, which they gave me. Though apparently I was supposed to be a boy and called Peter. Click it, Peter, to you.
I'll start calling you Peter from now on. They arrive in London and they meet Terry at the bar there. Terry, I love Terry walking in. It is fun seeing more of Mrs. S's old cohorts. We saw a few smatterings of her network before.
Yeah.
And we've seen, you know, like little bits and things. But having somebody like that come in and start talking about Siobhan the Bomb and her old bandmates coming in and wanting her to sing, this, I think, is a side that was really important for us to see, and for Sarah and Fee to see as well. Because after everything that's gone down between Sarah and Fee and Mrs. S, because of Kira with Helena, with, you know, blah, 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 secrets and Duncan and all this, to have a secret revealed to them, that was one that made them all just smile and happy and let loose and have that moment of, you know, Mrs. S, what a change. And I didn't know you could sing. It was really refreshing to see.
I gotta tell you, because the first half of the season had Allison as this little, you know, comic relief, lighthearted part of the plot. But here, when Sarah and Fee saw and learned all those things about Mrs. S, you could
tell. Who she shagged and who she, you know, singing
you
and all that, yeah.
You could tell from the expressions on their faces. Christmas just came earlier, and this is awesome. How is this a thing? How awesome. And they were looking at each other. They were looking at Mrs. S and was like, oh, Christmas, thank you, Santa. We were very, very good kids. They were they were kids in those moments. And it was so refreshing to see them this youthful and energetic and happy and excited because, oh my God, we're getting the blackmail material here and tell us more. This was brilliant. And then, of course, everything went to hell.
I didn't realize that they all had such great teeth. They were just so big and bright and shiny and white and pretty because they don't smile and laugh like this. It was awesome. Yeah. And here's a shout out to Maria Doyle Kennedy. She's a singer. She's very sensual and emotive and great voice. And I would definitely go and watch her in the pub sing. That was a fun to see Mrs. S. let loose after everything that's happened. What was not so fun was to see her let loose as we're intercutting with scenes of her mate, Terry, who has gone off to find out about this number, which I think is interesting that he instantly looks at it and knows that it's a prison inmate number.
Look, the reason we're here goes back to those days. I want you to just have a look at this and see what you make of it.
In London town, we all fell down.
Are you after bleeding off a goose?
Could be.
I don't know what this other shy is, but I'll tell you, this here number says that this Castor fella is a guest of Her Majesty's.
What do you mean? Well, it's a prisoner's number.
Yeah.
Life a long stretch. See, only the old geezers had this kind of tag. Changed the numbering system in the 80s. Reckon you want a name for this bloke, yeah?
We want a name. And as soon as you can get it.
I'll talk to a mate. See what I can find out. Yeah? All right. Shouldn't take long. Cheers.
So it gets him started on something really great. He calls her, but she's off with her band, so she misses the message. Saying, yeah, I've got some stuff, meet me around the corner. And while she's singing, we're intercutting with the guy who reminded me, creepy old henchman guy. He kind of reminded me a little bit of Gruber from Gotham.
Yeah.
And his creepiness and like swinging around that cord and how he was bludgeoning poor Terry as Ferdinand is watching. So he was supposed to be reporting to Ferdinand if Siobhan or Sarah ever came to London, and he didn't.
And Ferdinand was not happy.
No, do not upset Ferdinand like that. It was brutal, and it raised Ferdinand to a different level, because even though he didn't get his hands dirty, he's not above this dirty work. He's not above doing anything to get what he wants. It's not just about like the Helsinki clones, where we thought, oh, this is bad, because they took them all out. He's ready to be right there and be a part of it.
Yeah.
And that was brutal.
When he showed up at the very beginning and then disappeared, never to be heard from again, I did feel like it was a waste of the actor.
Oh, yeah.
Because
James Frayne is awesome.
Yeah, you don't cast this particular actor for a one-off. He's just too amazing. He has this presence. And even though he doesn't have the same presence as David Anders, the way we saw him on iZombie, it's not like that I see James Frayne and immediately don't trust him. But he has this power to him that after he left, at the beginning of the season, I was like, but sure, we didn't get your name right, but you were amazing. Where did you go? Do not tell me that they cast you to treat you like Jesse, like a one-off. Though clearly Jesse is coming back because I said so. But it was such a waste. And to see him again, I cheered. And now we can know if some certainty that he's coming back for the finale. So yet another point and reason to be excited for the finale. I don't know. It also creeped me out, possibly on the same level as watching Delphine. Seeing him just be in the same room as the guy who was, well, pretty much torturing poor Terry. Mm-hmm. And it gave him this menace. And I just... Now I am really excited to see Ferdinand and Delphine on the same level of being a villain almost.
Mm-hmm.
That coldness and that evil approach, basically.
Well, in a way, too, because Delphine was holding that razor blade. I think she would have actually cut Shay herself. But Ferdinand, I don't know that he would actually get his hands dirty unless it involved a safe word. So I think it's going to be interesting because I don't see either one of them backing down from the other.
This is something definitely to look forward to.
Very much so. Very much
remind
so.
Me again why the finale isn't a 2-hour event. So much to see and only an hour.
Well, especially with what Terry, before he dies, he does whisper into Siobhan's ear who that prisoner was. And the freak out on Siobhan's face.
I didn't tell him, but you need to know.
Oh, good God. Shit.
Is he? Yes.
Mum, what do we do?
We leave. We go home.
Yes, we need to find Coster.
We've lost our advantage.
He said he found something. One of
Shut up. This is not a debate. We are done.
Come on, she's right. We're going to go, okay? Let's go.
Get back to the pub. I'll take care of this. Just wait for me there. Do not move until I get there.
What do you find?
Felix, will you get her out of here?
Let's go. Come on, Sarah.
Yeah.
You know, we leave. We go home. We've lost our advantage. She's freaking out. And here's where I'm going to say, Sarah is that impetuous child.
Yeah.
Because, no, we're not going home. We came this far. I have to do this. We have to kill Castor. You've been saying we've got to kill Castor. We've got to take out the Castor original. I don't care what you say. I don't care what you learned. I'm not even going to wait around to try and convince you that we need to find, you know, that I need to hear what he said and blah, 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 so that we can maybe be rational about this. She just instantly goes off. Takes Terry's phone, calls the guy, and sets up this meeting and gets taken right to where the prisoner is, the former prisoner, who is, what is it, Kendall Malone, we find out, is the name.
Uh-huh.
And she gets taken there by another one of Siobhan's old friends. I'm thinking that, an alert needs to go out to all of Siobhan's old homeboys.
Yeah, don't help Sarah Manning.
Yeah, stay away from Siobhan for a while until things clear up a little bit. I liked seeing Fee having her back.
Even though he's there under protest.
Well, yes, but no. She says you don't have to come.
Oh, yes, he can.
But compared to the beginning of the first season, you know, when he's like,
I don't do backup. I don't even know what backup is.
He knows what backup is now.
Yeah.
He just isn't liking it very much. We're in London, in not necessarily the greatest part of London, at night, alone, with one gun that you have. You stay out here while I go in, Fee. Poor Fee. But he's a very supportive brother. I love that about him.
I cringe just watching the entire Sarah, you know, let's find the Castor original. And I cringed. And I didn't cringe because I was creeped out or freaked out, like, in every other scene we had this episode, but I was like, you said, and here we go again, it's a road trip with Helena all over again, and she's going to leave Fee somewhere as she goes to find clues or possibly kill a person. I thought she learned by now that she cannot go off by herself, that bad things happen when she goes off by herself.
What, when she acts rashly like that.
Yeah.
That was the one part of the episode I was disappointed in. Because that is one part where it seemed like the writers knew that they have one more episode after this. And they have so much that they have to get to in this episode. They know the end point of this episode.
Yeah.
Which we're about to get to. And we only have one more episode after that, so we have to quickly get Sarah there. And it's no fun if we get Sarah there by her and Siobhan helping each other out. So that seemed really rushed, and it seemed like we have to get from point A to point J. How do we do it?
By taking shortcuts through F, G, and H, basically.
Yeah, that was the one part that I was disappointed on. But I will say, that they turned it around very quickly when we have Sarah actually confronting Kendall Malone, or Kendall Malone actually confronting Sarah, because she definitely got the drop on Sarah. Was not expect, and again, this is one of those great things with like names like Terry and Kendall and all that. Male? Female? Male? Female? You don't know? You assume it's male because we're looking for the Castor original, but you find this woman? Okay, let's get into talking about that, because shortly after we find out it's Kendall Malone is a woman, Siobhan walks in to the pre-commercial break go to black line.
Siobhan. Hello, mother.
What I think is really interesting is that moment you saw in Siobhan's face, which you flash back to when Terry whispers it in her ear and this panic and everything. I don't think Siobhan realized how into this she actually was.
Yeah.
I think she thought she got into it because of Sarah and Fee, and that's when she was dragged into it. But to have the connection actually start back with her mother, we're not even to the next part. We're not even to the next big bomb. We're still on the hello mother bomb right here. To have her know that her mother was involved in all this in some way, shape, or form beforehand, that had to have just, it totally makes sense why Siobhan was like, nope, we got to get out of Dodge right now. We're going home. We're done. I got to get out. I can't handle this. What do you mean, Mom? My mother is involved. That was enough of a freak out.
I can't even imagine her, because she was such a, so strong through the entire thing. And I was like, I knew that I should have questioned it when she kept saying, and then I will kill the Castor original. I knew that I should have thought it was weird how she was insisting that she should be the one to kill the Castor original, because all the way through I thought, yeah, she wants to spare her children the killing of person, probably an old guy.
And Castor has put not just Sarah and Fee through it, she's put all these other people that Siobhan now considers family through it as well.
Yeah.
And she obviously has more than just that kind of animosity between her and her mom, because we bring up the whole thing about Kendall Malone killing John Sadler, Mrs. S's husband, and everything that happened there. Then we move on.
Where's Costa? I am wondering the same thing. Tell us, Ma, why would Professor Duncan send us to you?
I knew this would come up one day. I was just hoping I'd be dead. I swear, Ma, you better start talking.
Meanwhile, remember, Fee is outside still.
Yeah.
Still outside, so he's not in there. We just have Siobhan and Sarah and Kendall there. And that laugh that Kendall had, that little chuckle, that chortle of, you still don't get it? That she had a male twin? That what was it she said? That she did?
Absorbed her male twin in the womb.
Duncan came through Newton testing the inmates. Cancer research, he said. But I knew it wasn't. He did round after round, men and women, looking for a viable donor.
And he found one, yeah? A male donor?
All we found is male. Just not where he expected.
But who was it? Did you know him?
Oh, I know him well. He's me.
What the hell are you talking about, Ma?
I'm special, you see. Absorbed a male twin in the womb when I was formed. I got two cell lines, me.
Oh, my God. She's the Castor original. How's that possible?
Hell of a twist of nature, isn't it?
So she's Castor. She's the Castor original. For Siobhan, just that, yet another revelation, to have this moment of my mother, who I already despise, is also the one who has been torturing my children and murdering their siblings and putting us through all this hell, because you know that Siobhan still has this guilt too with Helena.
Yeah.
And Paul, and turning Helena over to Castor and all this kind of stuff. What a revelation. What a shocker that I did not see coming at all. Not in the slightest. And she's ready to just blow up the joint and destroy all traces of DNA.
I think it was actually very fitting, because through the almost entire season, we were looking for siblings. You know, especially after the revelation that Castor and Lena are brothers and sisters. We were thinking we were looking for siblings, and in a way we were. Only, you know, not in the same way that was the most obvious choice.
Well, actually, I was looking for an adult, but I was hoping Helen Mirren would be like the Lita original.
Yeah.
But, so that's where I was kind of heading towards.
But this solution that, you know, it's one person, it's so mind-blowing. Because in a way, if you think about it, that makes Sarah, in a weird way, Mrs. S's sister. Yeah. This is mind blown.
I have that written down too. I like the flip of Sarah being very rash and Mrs. S trying to be more reasonable.
Yeah.
And now we have the flip of Sarah actually being reasonable and rational, and Mrs. S being rash. We just have to blow everything up. S, all she wants to do is destroy it. I already hate my mom. I don't care. I don't want to deal with this. But Sarah saying she's Lita too. She's our source as well. If she's the Castor original, then she's the Lita original, and she can cure us as well. Talk about throwing a wrinkle in everything. And yeah, I have a feeling they're going to have the plane ride back to the Americas to contemplate the fact that Sarah's mom is actually her sister.
It's so weird. Now, where do you go from there? It's like, what do you do when you finally find the thing you were looking for? What now? Mm-hmm. It's just, where do they go from here? Because they might take the Castor and Lita original. I refuse to call her Mrs. S's mother, because that introduces all sorts of problems. But they have the original. And will they take her with them to the States? Will they turn her over to Diet for, you know, sampling and maybe curing Cosima? What is going to happen now?
But you can't do that, because you already know that Topside and Dyad are so infiltrated with Ferdinand and Rachel being taken away. There is no safe place to just hide her. And if any of these others get on the trail, which we know somebody is out there, somebody's watching Fee out there, Ferdinand. We know that there's things just lurking there. So what do you do? Does Castor have any idea that the Castor original could actually be a woman? Which this, it turns like all sorts of gender stuff, I think, really on its head, and how you think about things. And
this way played show. Well played.
Very well played. I'm quite impressed. But yeah, I do not know where they go from here. I'm really excited. It was an interesting twist. Although, again, I'm going to reiterate, I think it's a twist that leads us closer to the end of the whole Orphan Black story.
Knock on wood, do not jinx it.
Okay, well, we'll move past that into picking our faves for this episode.
Three cheers for Her Majesty the Queen! Hip hip! Hip hip! Hip hip!
Okay, so I think actually this week it's supposed to be me going first.
Possibly.
I'll go ahead and go first on Clone Queen. I still have to admit I'm back and forth on my backup, so we'll have to see on that one. I thought maybe I'd decide while we were talking, but I'm back and forth. But my Clone Queen for this episode actually is quite obvious for me, and that is Helena.
Oh yeah, baby.
Loved her in this episode. I loved how she still had those classic Helena moments, but she's sweet with kids. She's protecting her family. She's right there. She's supporting everybody in her family and is in such a great and quote unquote stable place. And I do use quotes because this is Helena we're talking about.
Yeah.
Without a doubt, Helena is my Clone Queen for the week.
And I am right there with you, because yeah, she was amazing this week. And everything she did, I loved. And yeah, I said at the beginning of the podcast that she's my favorite clone my favorite clone is an Allison or Sarah or Cosima. But yeah, she's my favorite clone this week and she is getting that crown. It will look pretty with that pink sweater and the fuzzy hat. She's going to make it work.
You know, this is the second time that each of us have picked Helena, and it's the sixth time that we've agreed on Clone Queen this season.
This is really disturbing that you know this.
Well, I have it right in front of me, so.
You're cheating! Oh, shame on you.
Well, because I'm entering in our picks as soon as we say them so that I don't have to go back and try remember. So this week, unanimously, our clone queen is Helena. No diss to the other clones, but she just went above and beyond. I mean, she did get extra refund.
Yeah.
A little more there. So.
Little cash to, you know.
In other words, we can be bought. Let's go ahead and move on to backup.
I just need you to be my backup, okay?
I don't do backup. I don't even know what backup is.
Okay, Alex, I'm going to have to default here and say you got to go first in backup because I still am torn.
Okay.
I'm torn, and you made the rule that we can't have a tie, so you got to go first.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. I gave it some thought, and I was torn between Donnie and Delphine, because they were both amazing for completely different reasons. And they impressed me for completely different reasons. Then I realized that I can't pick Delphine, because she was too close to being a villain in this episode for me to be able to call her a backup. She was still doing it for reasons she considered to be good. But at the same time, this is the best kind of the villain you can ever had. Someone who believes he's a hero or she's a hero. And I think Delphine is slowly but firmly crossing that line with every step she takes, which is why I couldn't pick her as my backup this week. And that left me with the second week in a row, I think, of picking Donnie.
It's your second week.
He was, like you said before, protective of his family and trying to, you know, I'm going to fix this. I'm going to get your babies back. And yeah, he totally deserves to be a backup. And plus, he was a perfect backup for our clone queen, Helena. Which is why, Donnie, darling, at the Brune, you're a winner, darling. Once again.
Okay, so I guess it's time for me to make my pick. Yes. I think it's interesting that you were between Donnie and Delphine. I had one of those that I was going back and forth between. I was between Donnie and Mrs. S. Mm. Because I just loved seeing this other side of her. I loved seeing her really becoming protectively ruthless. I mean, both Donnie and Mrs. S in this episode were protecting their family.
Yeah.
That was their primary concern. I think watching Mrs. S in those final scenes was so powerful, on top of her awesomeness in singing.
Mm.
So yay, Maria Doyle Kennedy, for that. You are just awesome in that. But I really think it was the family connection in both of their stories that got me. So, but looking at everything and looking back at all my choices this season for best backup, you've had repeats in your backups. I haven't to this point. Every week, my backups have been a totally new character. And I have had Mrs. S as a backup before. So I think we're going to make this a unanimous week. And I'm going to go for Donnie because it just, like you said, he was the epitome of a backup. Not necessarily the most successful backup in the world.
Did they achieve their objective? They did.
Did Helena achieve their objective? Yes, Helena achieved their objective. But his loyalty to his family, the way he came around for Helena and was there for her, and he really did get the babies back in a rather meek way. And the canister, please. Let's not forget that. But he was there, and I also have to give it to Donnie. I think he has the quickest recovery time from any kind of emotional jarringness. He can go from this death-defying situation where he could have his nose chopped off or anything like that to, hey, we've got some money. There's, look in the cooler. We're financially solvent. Yay. Let's go make soap. He has the quickest turnaround on that. So I think, Mrs. S, you get an honorable mention because I think you were awesome. But yeah, I will agree with you. We will have a unanimous week. Our clone queen was Helena and her backup was Donnie.
I feel like we chose well.
I think we did. Well, actually, I think we choose well pretty much every single episode.
Yeah, but this week you agreed with me and therefore we chose well.
Gosh. This is what I have to put up with, people. This is what I have to put up with. There is an article. We're not going to talk about it because we are running a little bit long. Actually, short compared to some of ours, but we're running a little bit long. But I did want to point out there is an ABC News article online where they actually talk about Tatiana Maslany, the multitasking star of sci-fi hit Orphan Black. And it's really interesting because they talk about, I think we're going to have to talk about this maybe in the finale or some other time, about how there's some disgruntled fans thinking that introducing male clones threatens the series' feminist agenda. Definitely go and check it out because I really love what Tatiana says and how she answers that question about having male clones undermining a feminist agenda.
Mm.
It was very interesting. Although the one thing I will say is that this line saying the highly acclaimed series has won the 29-year-old Maslany a special brand of cult adulation, even something bordering on celebrity. Bordering on celebrity?
She's awesome.
She's a celebrity.
And there's
awesome.
More than
she's
one
a bona fide star. So this is an awesome article, but that is where AP and ABC News gets it wrong. She is not bordering on a celebrity. We would love to hear what you think about the show and our clone queen and backup picks, where you think the finale might put us, and do we have enough material left in the run to do more than just one more season? There's definitely one more season. This cannot be wrapped up in an episode. Mm. But do we go beyond season 4? Is there a season 5 out there? I'd love to hear what you think. Alex already says yes, but I'd love to hear what you think. So let us know on social media, email, the hotline. Make sure to subscribe to us on iTunes or the podcast platform of your choice. And of course, you can always go to over to sci-fi4me.com and click on the Sci-Fi for Chicks links there. You can go to sci-fi4chicks.com too, which will take you to our page and we'll be updating things on there as well. We have a nice, bright, shiny new URL.
Yay!
It's all ours.
Yes, our precious.
And a little quick shout out too, since you did bring that up. We do want to say, miss you, Sir Christopher Lee.
Mm.
Very sad. Precious. We will be back next week to talk the finale of Orphan Black Season 3, Episode 10, History Yet to Be Written. That's a pretty good title.
It's a pretty good title because it suggests it's going to go into Season 4.
I think so. And that history has yet to be written. We will see you next week. Thank you so much for joining us. Don't forget to check out our iZombie podcast. Our finale just went up. And we'll see you back here next week for the finale of Orphan Black. And then who knows what we're doing after that. I don't know. Guess maybe we're going on a summer break.
See you next week.
Bye.
What is it? It smells minty.
This we make in convent. When the nuns beat the demons from us.
Oh. Never heard that story before.
You have more interesting stories, Donnie Hendrick. Drug dealers and money.
I should never have gotten involved with Kellerman. But I lost my job and Allie really wanted to run for trustee.
You do this for your family.
Now I gotta get us out of it. Got to return the pills and get all our money back. And they took this tank thingy from under the counter.
My babies?
Excuse me, what?
They took eggs from inside me, made them into babies and put them frozen in the tank.
Guess I never heard that story either.
Where are they? I will find them.
No. No. I'll get them. Helena, these are bad people. Besides, you walk a new path, remember?
Allison won't like this.
I don't care. It's a dad decision for the family. And you're a part of it now.
This is a fight for knowledge.
This is war.
Arias Tenarshby.
Those with power do not give it up easily.
They never have.
And they never will.
I am not your weapon.
I am not your toy.
I am not your experiment.
I'm not your property.
This has been a presentation of SciFiForMe.com. Copyright 2015 by Flaming Dog Media, LLC. All rights reserved. No portion of this program may be retransmitted without the express written consent of Flaming Dog Media. This is Sci-Fi for Me Radio.